Ford stared at Arthur, who began to think that perhaps he did want to go to the horse and groom after all. "But what about my house?" he asked plaintively. Ford looked across to Mr. Prosser, and suddenly a wicked thought struck him. "He wants to knock your house down?" "Yes, he wants to build—" "And he can't, because you're lying in front of his bulldozer?" "Yes, and—" "I'm sure we can come to some arrangement," said Ford. "Excuse me!" he shouted. Mr. Prosser, who was arguing with a spokesman for the bulldozer drivers about whether or not Arthur Dent constituted a mental health hazard and how much they should get paid if he did, looked around. He was surprised and slightly alarmed to see that Arthur had company.
"Yes? Hello?" he called. "Has Mr. Dent come to his senses yet?"
"Can we, for the moment," called Ford, "assume that he hasn't?"
"Well," sighed Mr. Prosser.
"And can we also assume," said Ford, "that he's going to be staying here all day?"
"So?"
"So all your men are going to be standing around all day doing nothing."
"Could be, could be."
"Well, if you're resigned to doing that anyway, you don't actually need him to lie here all the time, do you?"
"What?"
"You don't," said Ford patiently, "actually need him here." Mr. Prosser thought about this.
"Well, no, not as such," he said. "Not exactly need."
Prosser was worried. He thought that one of them wasn't making a lot of sense.
Ford said, "So, if you would just like to take it as read that he's actually here, then he and I could slip off down to the pub for half an hour. How does that sound?"
Mr. Prosser thought it sounded perfectly potty.
"That sounds perfectly reasonable," he said in a reassuring tone of voice, wondering who he was trying to reassure.
"And if you want to pop off for a quick one yourself later on," said Ford, "we can always cover for you in return."
"Thank you very much," said Mr. Prosser, who no longer knew how to play this at all. "Thank you very much, yes, that's very kind."
He frowned, then smiled, then tried to do both at once, failed, grasped hold of his fur hat and rolled it fitfully round the top of his head. He could only assume that he had just won.
"So," continued Ford Prefect, "if you would just like to come over here and lie down—"
"What?" said Mr. Prosser.
"Ah, I'm sorry," said Ford. "Perhaps I hadn't made myself fully clear. Somebody's got to lie in front of the bulldozers, haven't they? Or there won't be anything to stop them driving into Mr. Dent's house, will there?"
"What?" said Mr. Prosser again.
"It's very simple," said Ford. "My client, Mr. Dent, says that he will stop lying here in the mud on the sole condition that you come and take over from him."
"What are you talking about?" said Arthur, but Ford nudged him with his shoe to be quiet.
"You want me," said Prosser, spelling out this new thought to himself, "to come and lie there?"
"Yes."
"In front of the bulldozer?"
"Yes."
"Instead of Mr. Dent?"
"Yes."
"In the mud?"
"In, as you say, the mud."
As soon as Mr. Prosser realized that he was substantially the loser after all, it was as if a weight lifted itself off his shoulders. This was more like the world as he knew it. He sighed. "In return for which, you will take Mr. Dent with you down to the pub."
"That's it," said Ford.
"That's it exactly."
Mr. Prosser took a few nervous steps forward and stopped.
"Promise?" he said.
"Promise," said Ford. He turned to Arthur.
"Come on," he said to him. "Get up and let the man lie down."
Arthur stood up, feeling as if he was in a dream.
Ford beckoned to Prosser, who, sadly, awkwardly, sat down in the mud. He felt that his whole life was some kind of dream, and he sometimes wondered whose it was and whether they were enjoying it. The mud folded itself round his bottom and his arms and oozed into his shoes. Ford looked at him severely.
"And no sneaky knocking Mr. Dent's house down while he's away, all right?" he said.
"The mere thought," growled Mr. Prosser, "hadn't even begun to speculate. he continued, settling himself.